This is Pierre Bouvier, lead singer of the band Simple Plan. I could sing a song for you, Wine 30, with Andrew and Lindsay. Here we go. Andrew and Lindsay hosting Wine 30. Andrew and Lindsay. Through all the best and many more years to come tonight. I'm just a kid. Many more years to come. Peace.
Today, we are drinking a Troublemaker Red Blend from the Central Coast of California. This was made in Paso Robles, as well as Fairfield, California. And this is a blend of Syrah, Petit Syrah, Mourvèdre. Is that okay? Is that what we decided the pronunciation was?
Mourvèdre. I think you have to roll your R, but it's fine.
And Grenache and Zinfandel. So nice little blend we have going here. And they have like this little story because it's from Hope Family Vineyards. And they said that when Austin Hope was young, they basically made him go and work on the family vineyard when he was in trouble. And he ended up having a passion for wine. And this is his blend, Troublemaker.
It's like a really nice story about how child labor turned out okay.
How do you feel about this wine, though? Like, do you like it?
I like it a lot. I think that his suffering has really turned into something really beautiful here. I do have a thought, though. Did they grow it in Paso Robles and then distill it in Fairfield?
I'm assuming that's what it means by Paso Robles and Fairfield, because all of these, like Zen and Grenache and Syrah, all probably grow much better in Paso Robles than Fairfield. And I feel like Fairfield is a place where you could like barrel it and do that stuff for sure.
Because Fairfield is relatively inexpensive for that kind of stuff, I would think. And because you're relatively close to Napa, so you can get the barrels easy.
Yeah. Like you're close to wine country. Items,
like wine items.
Yeah. That would be my assumption.
Yeah. We're going to just make an educated guess on that one. So what would you listen to this with?
Because that's like my new hot question, right? Is what music do I associate with this? I associate this with swing music personally. Like swingy. Or like polka. I don't know how swingy that means.
Is that swingy? I don't know.
No, but that's like, I don't know what you'd call that, but I don't know. I think it's fun. It's like almost kind of like a retro like feeling, or you could do like Jailhouse Rock Elvis.
Jailhouse Rock. Okay. I was thinking this would be good with like ska music, you know?
Sure.
Honestly, the label kind of, I felt the bottle and that kind of like changed my perspective on the wine a little bit because it's got like a, I don't know, how would you describe that, the feel of the label?
Well, it's like a matte.
Matte, yeah.
It almost has like a craft papery feel, but it doesn't look like craft paper.
Yeah.
And it's basically like a red piece of paper with a white border that looks like it's torn and then it says Troublemaker. In the torrent section. I actually grabbed this because I liked the label.
I liked the label too.
Where it was like, I saw it and I was like, that drew in my attention. And I know I haven't tried this before because I would have recognized the label. So, I mean, it got me to buy
it. It's quite good.
I want to say it costs $16.
Oh, so really reasonable.
So I feel like completely reasonable price.
It's a nicer bottle, so you're getting what you pay for.
Yeah, I feel like for a red blend, I never want to pay under like, I think the minimum I would pay for a red blend is usually like $12. Because if you get a red blend, yeah, actually maybe even 15. I probably wouldn't want to go under 15 for most red blends.
It takes a lot of skill to blend and like, you don't just want an amateur blend in your
wine. And cheap red blends can be so gross.
Yeah, that's true.
But I also don't feel like I should ever be paying more than like $35 for red blend either, unless it's like their special like estate reserve or something.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so let's talk about what we've been watching, reading, playing, and listening to this week.
Okay.
Which this was kind of an interesting week because we spent the first half of the week on a little trip. We went to San Diego and San Luis Obispo to visit some colleges with Andrew's sister. So for me anyway, I didn't really play anything this week, anything new. I played some Torn on my phone, and other than that, didn't really have any opportunity to try any new games.
I played some Magic.
Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
Mainly on like your phone, or not your phone, your
iPad.
Your iPad and your PC, right? Not like the physical card game, but like the digital version.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I've been listening to is Spotify has the complete Felicity soundtrack. Like someone made a playlist, because when you watch the show back on Hulu currently, they switched out all the music because they no longer have the rights to the original music they used in the show. But they have all the original songs on a playlist on Spotify. So I've been listening to those. And then I'm like, man, I feel like I really missed out on like watching the show with the original music, because it had like Brass in Pocket by the Pretenders, and it had Save Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry, and just like a lot of like Sarah McLachlan and Jewel and REM, and like just a bunch of really cool stuff. Boz Scaggs, Dean Martin. And it just makes me wish that, you know, we were back in the 90s and I could have seen it with the good stuff.
Yeah, I feel that. I've been listening to some like punky music that's coming back around. For instance, I liked a song today called Girl All the Bad Guys Want.
Bowling for Soup.
Yeah.
You're like, yes.
Do you like them?
I don't know a ton of Bowling for Soup. I know 1985.
Yeah.
You know, they're one hit wonder song.
I never really listened to him, but this song was good. I also listened to Urban Struggle by the Vandals, which was also really good.
Actually, didn't Bowling for Soup also sing the theme song for Phineas and Ferb?
Possibly.
I actually believe so.
Okay.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
But
cool. What have you been reading?
I have been reading some books with the baby, you know, some Fancy Nancy.
Fancy Nancy.
Okay. We're learning some new fancy words. And then I started reading more Lore Olympus. And then I found out that there's only a couple episodes left and it's done for good.
Yeah, you were talking about that last episode.
I think I was just talking about it to you just in general. Because she announced it like 2 days ago.
Okay.
But there's only going to be 280 episodes. And it hurts my heart because I'm like really in it. And I'm not ready.
You really went through those. You just heard about that last year.
Well, no, I had read some of it before. I'd read the first volume on like Hoopla or something a long time ago. And then I completely forgot it existed. And then when we saw the panel, I was like, oh, I need to revisit that. And then I started at the beginning again and then have been barreling through.
Who's the artist again, or the creator?
Rachel Smith.
Rachel Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I really like her, seeing her at the Comic-Con.
Yeah, she's from New Zealand.
I'm really happy that she is starting new stuff, because I want to see her back at Comic-Con, but I just don't want her to come again for Lore Olympus. Although she probably will do a panel on that, but like, I want to see what else she's capable of, you know?
Yeah, I think she's like super creative, and she obviously had like a lot of passion for like the Greek mythology thing. And I do understand why she's wrapping it up. Like, you can't just keep like grinding the same characters forever.
Yeah.
Where she's probably like, okay, like the arcs, like the story arcs I wanted to do are over.
She explored as much as she cares to.
Well, and she's trying to follow Greek mythology stories. So at some point you're going to start like running out of stories with these characters that exist. And you don't want to just start making up things that aren't related at all.
That's true.
What have you been reading?
So I read 7 volumes of Criminal.
Wow.
And then I started Fatal Volume 1.
Nice.
Because I caught up with The Criminal. I just like the art, the story. I think it's the conclusion. I don't think they might be making more. But it's just about bad guys, you know, and like how it impacts, it like delves into like how it impacts children and then how they grow up and what type of people they become. And each volume is like a different time period. And it kind of like goes back and then moves forward. I really liked it. I thought it was really well done.
That's cool.
Yeah. Sounds and the cool. Writing's a little niche. So it's not for everybody, but it's well done. It's well written.
Sweet. So we did watch an interesting movie last night called Dream Scenario. Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
Michael Cera was also in it.
And also, who's the counselor? Or the dean.
Wasn't it Tim Robbins, right? Is that who it was?
No.
The one, the guy who was also the principal in Mean Girls.
Black guy?
Yeah.
Oh, is that his name?
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
Or I just made up his name. I'm pretty sure that's his name.
I thought you said a different name last night, so I just...
Now I'm questioning everything.
Questioning everything. All right. It was pretty good, I thought, although it was really weird. But it was also a horror comedy. I actually kind of was left wanting more at the end, which I guess is really good.
Oh, Tim Meadows.
Yeah, there you go. That sounds right.
I was very close.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think
it's Tim Meadows.
Roberts is right. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I couldn't tell you what his name was. I really like him though.
Yeah, the movie was definitely like, it was good. But also weird. And I also missed the last, probably third of the movie.
Yeah, it was weird. Basically, it's about this guy who starts showing up in people's dreams.
But like everyone's dreams.
Not everyone, but like thousands of people's dreams. And he's always kind of doing the same thing, like not being helpful.
Yeah, like at the beginning, he's basically just always just... In the background, while horrible things are happening and not helping. And then he is like murdering people in dreams too.
Yeah. Something that bugged me a little bit is they don't really explain it. You know, like by the end of the movie, you're just like, because they develop, basically they corporatize it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, they don't really explain why that was happening. Like there's no definitive answer, you know? Like, they just figure out how to do it, but they don't explain why that was happening without any devices. So that kind of feels a little bit weird to me.
Yeah, there were... Yeah, it was just a movie where you're like, oh, this is coolish, but they didn't fully develop the plot.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, here's a cool idea, but they didn't...
They're like, here's a cool idea, but we can't explain why it works. And I'm like, you could have just made something up, honestly.
It doesn't even have to really make sense. Just pretend it makes sense. I don't know. That's how I feel about it, anyway.
It's like, they leave it off, and it's like, well, I guess he is kind of special. Anyway, I don't want to ruin the movie. Check it out if you're into weird movies. Honestly, I really like Nicolas Cage, so he's like one of the greats, you know?
Yeah, so we are going to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, and we'll be back with this week's Hot Topics. Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. It's literally one scoop a day, and it tastes great. For the longest time, I was like, lemon lime is my favorite flavor, and then this past week, I've been super into the strawberry lemonade flavor, and it has completely improved my life. This is nutrition the way that nature intended. I feel like I have way more energy, I sleep better throughout the night, and I have healthier hair and skin. And it helps with digestion, so it makes your stomach feel so much better, and you just feel better and healthier overall. Field of Greens is super easy to like bring along when you go on a trip. When you're like, you know what, I'm not getting my normal amount of fruits and veggies in. Super easy way to get those in throughout the day. And I love that they flash freeze the fruits and veggies and then pulverize them into a powder so that you're getting the maximum amount of nutrients out of your powder. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support health and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you're going to love this product, but if for any reason you don't, they'll give you a 100% money back guarantee. I got you 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code WINE30. That's promo code WINE30 at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code WINE30.
I wanted to kick this off. This may be a new trend I'm starting. I just want to kick this off with maybe we both can do like one of our favorite quotes. So I'll go first. This is from Reinhold Niebuhr. I think that's how you say his name. And it's, "Lord, grant me the strength to accept the things I can't change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." I feel like that just hits really hard at 37, you know? Because I feel like you're getting a little bit older and you're trying to, you're like, you know, wisdom comes with age. And I just feel like that really resonates with where I'm at in life, you know? Because we're constantly surrounded by things that there's nothing we can do about. And we're being bombarded by them all the time. And then there are things we can change, and we're finally gaining the wisdom to realize those things. You know, like, yeah. Doesn't that feel nice? So that's kind of like my favorite, like, mantra slash quote from Reinhold Niebuhr, I think is how you say it.
Cool. So I was taken off guard by this question, and I don't want to just fall into like a Taylor Swift quote.
That's fine if that's what okay. inspires you.
So I do, I wouldn't say this is like a favorite quote, but I do have a quote.
Okay.
Okay. So the quote I'm going to do for this week is, "The world only exists in your eyes, your conception of it. You can make it as big or small as you want to." And that's F. Scott Fitzgerald.
That like kind of falls, that's Fitzgerald. That kind of falls in line with your, like, you're the main character, you
know? Well, that's the thing is, like, the world exists through your eyes, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you can make it as big or small as you want to.
Who said the saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder?
Jesus.
No.
I don't know.
Jesus said it. You're like, Jesus, praise the Lord, Father. So yeah, that's nice. Can you say it one more time?
It says, "The world only exists in your eyes, your conception of it. You can make it as big or small as you want to."
That's kind of cool. It almost feels a little bit like delusional. Who said it?
F. Scott Fitzgerald.
That's Fitzgerald. So his wife could have said it too, because he stole a lot of his stuff.
Is that technically, because it was in the book, The Crack Up, that he wrote, she actually wrote a lot of his stuff. So it very easily could have been her.
Which actually makes way more sense, because she's a female in a world where it's like females don't have that much rights. So
she's overwhelmed. Zelda Fitzgerald was like very like progressive, like party girl of the 1920s. Like,
that's a really cool quote.
Yeah.
Like, for like Blast from the Past, like, oh, takes you back.
It just like took me off guard, and I was like, you know who I know has a lot of good quotes?
Yeah.
Fitzgerald.
Nice.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to.
That's actually not the quote I was looking for from Fitzgerald. There was another one, but you know,
Well, why don't you do a Taylor Swift quote? I'm curious. I don't know any quotes by Taylor Swift.
I probably would have quoted, I don't know a word for word, but like in her doctorate speech, when she got her doctorate's award, she was talking about, how people will be like, oh, that's so cringe. Right.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, be cringy. Like, who cares? Like,
yeah.
Enjoy yourself. The things you like. Like, don't be so worried about
what nice other message.
People think are cringy. And don't put people down for something that's quote unquote cringy, because it's like everyone has those things.
I wouldn't say it's like, you know, breaking barriers, because it's been said in a better way, but it's a good message nonetheless. All right, let's kick it off with topics. Are you ready for this? I just want to touch on Israel real quick. So we sent more weapons to Israel, which doesn't make any sense to me. So we sent more weapons and then we urged for a ceasefire. Like, how does that make any sense? You send more weapons and you say, hey, we need to cut out the killing. Yeah. It's kind of like actions speak louder than words. And I'm just like, what are you doing? You're trying to appease the American citizens with your words, but your actions are saying the exact opposite.
Yeah.
It's pathetic. Like, how dumb do you think the American citizens are? Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
The whole thing is just
ridiculous. That's just how I feel. I don't know. I hate being lied to.
So I guess we should talk about the other, like, drama that's not pop culture.
Yeah, do it.
Which is the Baltimore Bridge that was knocked down by the cargo ship.
Yeah.
I say knocked down because it legit, like, when it ran into it, the whole bridge just straight up
crumbled. I know. I watched the video and I don't want to say this because it's tragic, but it felt very comedic to me. And then, like, reading about it, I'm just like, this has very much feelies of that movie that we watched.
Leave the World Behind.
Leave the World Behind.
Legit, as soon as I like clicked on the video and was watching the video, I was like, this looks like a scene out of that movie, straight up.
Lindsay's like, apparently the ship just lost power. And I'm like, small EMP from a foreign terrorist group.
Well, I was like, right, it away. Lost power.
That's and not what happened, but.
It's like it lost power and then just happened to
be headed directly for a bridge, like a torpedo.
No. So it was supposed to be going underneath the bridge, right? Because it's a tall bridge and it normally goes underneath. But because they lost the power, they just straight up ran into the pillar.
Yeah.
And it was like, was there no way to steer it anywhere but straight onto the pillar?
Well, think how big that ship is. You have to have power.
I guess. But it was just one of those things where, like, what are the chances when you're going under a big bridge that you just square on, just hit that?
Well, perfectly. Pretty high, honestly, because the ship's huge, right?
And the- but they didn't just, like, scrape the pillar. They just full on, like, legit the front of the ship was dead ahead on the pillar. It,
like, tumbled like toys that your kid's playing with, you know, like when your kid whacks toys, like you build something and it just destroys it. That's
Andrew
exactly
builds
what it
looked Block
like.
City like 20 times a day, and our kid every time walks up and just like full on just immediately smashes Block City like
it's
a little Godzilla.
It's like unlimited creativity on my part because I just keep building. Just like rebuild, build back better.
You're like, I can't wait until he starts playing Legos that like, stick together a little bit.
Yeah, they should have hired me for build back better plan. I would have had that thing built. I had stuff building, you know?
Okay. So before we get to the Diddy drama, because you know we got to talk about Diddy, let's talk a little bit about Tish Cyrus, who is Miley Cyrus's mom. She recently got married to Dominic Purcell, who was on, what show was that? Prison Break? Is that correct? He wasn't like the main guy, but he was one of the main guys. So he was on that show back in the day. They recently got married because she broke up with Billy Ray. Less than a year later, is married to this guy, which didn't really bug me at all. Like, he's a little bit younger than her, but he's still like late 30s, I think, early 40s.
Yeah.
What is weird is that he formerly dated Miley Cyrus's younger sister.
Okay.
So he dated Noah Cyrus. They broke up. And then he married her mom.
Yeah, I don't know.
How do we feel like about people marrying the moms of their exes or dads, I guess, technically could be part of that too.
I think like I don't want to judge, you know, on that one.
Well,
as long as it's not pedophilia or like,
At first I was like, oh, that's really creepy. I don't like that. But then I was like, okay, well, they say he dated Noah Cyrus, right? But they didn't, like, did they go on a date or two dates? Like, it doesn't mean that they slept together. It didn't mean it was serious. It's not like they lived together. Like, it literally could have been one or two dates. And then she could have been like, you know what? Like, we're not really compatible. You're kind of too old for me. Like, I guess she was pissed when the mom got together with him. But that doesn't mean that like that was ever an actual relationship.
Well, it sounds like he just clicked better with the mom. I don't know.
You I mean, they're closer in age. They probably.
Yeah. Like the maturity's there.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's interesting. How do we feel about Beyonce's new album, by the way? Because Miley Cyrus did a okay. song with Beyonce, right? So
I haven't actually listened to the whole album. I've heard Jolene, obviously, because everyone keeps talking about it, which I wasn't a huge fan of her version of Jolene. I did, however, I do like the song she did with Miley Cyrus, but I feel like Miley Cyrus kind of overpowers the song.
Yeah.
Where I was like, this feels like a Miley Cyrus song featuring Beyonce to mm-hmm. me.
No, a lot of times they do that. Like if you're featured in someone else's song, you'll put it on your album, you know?
But then, Taylor Swift actually does background vocals for The Bodyguard, but she's not featured. Like they don't even like say it like on the album, like Bodyguard featuring Taylor Swift. Like you have to look in the notes to know that it's even her. But obviously Taylor Swift fans were like, that sounds like Taylor's voice somewhere in the background there.
Yeah.
But she like literally does background vocals. It's not even like her own verse or chorus or whatever. It's just in the background, which I think is kind of cool that she didn't force her name.
I mean, it just sounds like she got the heavy hitters on her album to try to like making it some waves.
Which like...
And it's country, so you're kind of going up against a tough crowd.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not going to put up with any shenanigans.
I did hear that she sent like flowers and cards to all the black female country artists that were out prior to her album and were like, thank you for like making the space for me to like do country music. You inspired me to
seems kind of like shiesty a little bit.
But I feel like it felt like very like PR. Like, yeah. Like hit the PR people like, oh, do this because that'll get more country people on your side. Like all their fans will then
it's like,
be
we're
like,
so,
on
it's
board
like,
with it.
You need to assimilate with people that are similar to you. And that may mean your skin color. I don't know. It just feels kind of like she would have been better off like doing a little research and seeing like if she maybe aligned with the thought process of different country artists.
I mean,
not based on their skin color. I don't know. Just seems maybe a little weird.
I'm not a huge Beyonce fan just because I find her to be very hypocritical on like a personal level.
You're like Jay-Z cheated on her and she stayed with Jay-Z. So
No, it's not that. It's like, I feel like.
I don't judge her for that.
I just feel like her opinions on things and like her lyrics, they don't like things just don't align. And I don't know if it's because other people are writing her songs and then she's like, this sounds cool. And she just does it. But I have no definitive answer of like who she is or what she actually stands for because I feel like it's so wishy-washy feeling.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's not how I feel per se. I think maybe Beyonce to me is kind of like almost a fictional character.
I do feel like she's a great businesswoman.
Yeah. Like she has built Beyonce as a brand. Mm-hmm. Which is a business angle. Mm-hmm. And like that Beyonce that she's built is kind of a little bit like bossy, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's impacted her individuality, like if that's hit her to the core, you know, and like changed her as a person and like she has become that, because that's just not really a good thing to be, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's not fun to be around people like that. Like people that are just like my way or the highway type attitudes. Mm-hmm. Like, and honestly, would you really want to be a person that dominates so hard like that? I don't know. I feel like at a certain point that feels like power corrupted her. But I don't know. Honestly, that might just be a facade. Might just be a show. I actually think all famous people kind of put up a little bit of a facade.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And then.
I think it's silly. Like, you're going to wear, like, skimpy things. You appeal to people's sexual appetite, right? It's like you're playing on people's instincts. That's all I feel like.
I don't know. I actually feel like she has really good style for the most part.
Oh, the style is great. But you're definitely looking for that sexual angle.
I mean, I feel like most pop or hip hop or R&B or, like, any of those people are all kind of going for that.
Kinda. I feel like country feels like a little less. I think it's hard
for country for her because she's like been so sexualized. And a lot of the country people are more like, oh, like we're very
like
Christian.
They're like jeans out in the country, like throwing a rope around a cow's ankle.
And I feel like a lot of people have been like putting her down for like, oh, this is too sexy for country.
So she said her reasons for going into country were what?
I think she just wanted to do something new and different. She's originally from Texas. Like she was born and raised in Texas. There was
like something, like she got some bad, she had like experimented with a country song and there was a lot of flack coming from the country, like forums.
Well, she put out the first single a few weeks back.
Yeah.
And the country fans, like a bunch of radio stations were like, we're not going to play that because it's Beyonce.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, it's a country song and it's at the top of the country charts. And they're like, we're not going to play that because it's Beyonce.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, okay, but like.
I think if she actually wants to break into country, she needs to dial it back a little bit, you know.
And do like a low key, like.
It needs to be
honestly,
like.
Honestly, she should have done like a low key, like acoustic, like bluegrassy, folky.
Yeah. Like, it's like you may be making country music, but you're hitting it from a poppy angle, you know, which is like big, shiny, sparkly, like, you know, and I'm like, I think that you are an amazing artist, you know?
Yeah.
But you gotta like, country's more about the, it's more than just the music, right? Like a lot of times you're like, oh, I mean, they wear the cowboy hats.
You but know? Like,
she
wears, about it.
She did
like,
all that, I guess.
Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain. There's like other people that are showy.
Yeah.
And female country artists. So I think she was looking like, oh, I could be like Carrie Underwood. I could be like Taylor Swift. I could be like Shania Twain.
I think it's really cool. I love it when artists branch out. I don't know. I haven't listened to any of the music. I've just been reading up on it. I saw the cover and I was like, cool cover.
Heard, like, just because I'm not a fan of the Jolene cover doesn't mean that it's like bad by any means, but like the other songs that I have heard from it are good.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a good album from what I've heard.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And I'm maybe speaking like from a selfless point right here, sexualizing artists like that, like herself, that's good for her because like, my libido or male instincts are like, yeah, sexualize yourself. But like my critical thought is like, why are you demeaning yourself, you know, just to get a few more clicks? You know, that's how I feel about it. I'm like, give yourself higher standards than to like, fiend on people's lusty behavior. You know, it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of like, okay, cool. There's a way to do it. I don't know. She's good. It's controversial. Like she's classy too. She knows how to be classy.
Yeah. I feel like there's just so much of her that, like I said, you don't really know who she is because it's like, she's playing a role.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't know anything about her really, except for that she's dating Beyonce.
Or you mean she's married to Jay-Z and they have the kids and whatever, but I feel I also know that they're
super unrelatable.
Yeah.
You know?
That is also true. So moving on, that Quiet on Set that we watched last week about Nickelodeon came out. They had 4 episodes and then they like sneakily listed a 5th episode that's supposed to come out next week. Like it was originally just supposed to be the 4. And now I'm like, what's going to be in the 5th episode? Like, it has to be big for them to, like, go and make another episode to add to it.
Kind of wonder if they just had that planned, huh?
Which, what I'm hoping is they have Amanda Bynes on to tell her story. Because I feel like that's who I really want to hear from. But I do know that Matthew Underwood, who was on Zoe 101, came out this past week on Instagram and said that he had been assaulted by his talent agent while working on Nickelodeon. And that's the entire reason he quit acting.
Got it.
He was on that show and then was, like, done. Like, I don't want to be around people like that ever again. So more and more Nickelodeon and Disney stars are starting to like come out about stuff like that. And people are like, oh, Nickelodeon's so bad. And the thing is like Disney they protect their people a little bit better, but certain shows like had a bunch of horrible people working on them.
Well, Disney's bigger.
Yeah.
It's like way more vast.
So. And the fact that that one guy was in prison for 6 years for sexually assaulting Drake Bell, and the second he got out, they hired him for a Disney show was like, are you not doing your due diligence? Like, isn't that a big deal?
Apparently not.
Like, I don't get it. Okay. So our last topic for this week is Diddy, because, you know, he's had all that legal drama. And then this past week, his house was raided and then he magically just disappeared.
Well, it sounds like he got on a plane and went to an island.
Yeah. So he had his plane removed from databases so that you can't see where his plane is going in live time or where it's at.
Removed his tracker.
Because normally you can like look up a plane and see where it's going or where it's at, the last place it was.
Yeah, it's a safety feature.
And he had that so it can no longer be tracked, which, you know, well, you're on the run.
He's guilty.
Which people are like, oh, he's in the Bahamas or he's wherever. Last I heard, he was in Antigua, but he could be anywhere at this point. And the thing with going to the Bahamas is they can't extradite him. Like, they can't just like arrest him there and send him back because they don't have that deal with the US. So basically he has, what's it called? Amnesty.
Well, yeah. I know a bunch of rich, filthy rich dudes go with their yachts to the Bahamas.
I mean, that's like the Wolf of Wall Street guy, right? He's basically just like hanging out on a yacht in the Bahamas or whatever.
Well, that guy's in New Zealand and he got imprisoned and, you know, he did his due diligence, but
I mean, kind of.
Well, he's supposed to be paying those people back, but who knows?
They're never getting paid back.
He started paying back. I don't know. I haven't really followed up on it.
Oh, that reminds me that the FTX guy was sentenced this week.
Yeah.
For what was it? 25 years?
Yeah. Okay. So the thing about Diddy is he can fly to the Bahamas, but he can't land places without going on the radar. Like, because he has to call in. You can't just land anywhere, you know, like you have to radio in. Okay,
but the thing is, because he has so many buddies that have private islands and private airstrips and things like that, he can land on a friend's private island.
Right. But here's another thing, too, is when you come into the range of a country, powerful country, they track you on radar. Like, I know China does. I know different countries do that. But he's
probably not going to leave the Bahamas.
Right.
He's just going to be out there forever.
Maybe.
Or until this blows over.
Well, there's ways to get him back.
But he's been posting on Instagram, so.
So the way you get him is you tie all his finances up.
That is very true. He probably has a lot of offshore accounts, but.
Well, even offshore accounts you can tie up pretty good nowadays.
Yeah, there's definitely ways to make him
now,
hurt.
Now, crypto, if he's got a bunch of crypto.
Crypto's up right now.
That could be a problem because he could figure out a way to just locally pull it out.
Mm-hmm. Or like transfer it to different types of like different coins and different.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
And like you may be able to see where he pulls it out. Maybe if you have access to that bank, but you'd have to know. You would know that he pulled it out, but what are you going to do if he pulls it out in the Bahamas at a casino? You know, like a crypto ATM.
I'm just hoping that the law catches up to him and that he ends up having to serve his time. That's what I hope.
He needs to serve his time, which is life, probably.
At this point, because
you're trafficking women.
Women, guns, drugs.
Yeah.
Like drugs laced with fentanyl.
Right. And you're doing like, really shady stuff, kidnapping people's daughters.
Yeah.
You know, essentially.
Sex trafficking is just like a definite no-no. But the other stuff is really horrible too. Okay. So that's all we have time for this week. We will be taking next week off from 1:30, but we'll be back the following week with two episodes for you guys.
All right.
Talk to you then.